Hi. My name is Haven Clausen, and I'm a member of the preaching team here at Tumsee. As you've already heard, today is the third Sunday of Easter and the second sermon in the series entitled New Creation, Original Plan. It was spring in Jerusalem, a time of year that brought with it the possibility of an easterly wind. Now, some of these were very powerful. Coming in off the Arabian desert, they could be up to 100 kilometers an hour, and they could be hot and dry enough to wither crops and carry so much dust that they could make the sky dark in the middle of the day. Some people called these winds of God or winds of the sovereign. And some people speculate that maybe it was one of those winds that made the sky turn dark for 3 hours when Jesus died. But that was a couple days ago now. There's a very good chance that today was a lovely day. Sun shining, birds singing. I always take comfort from the sound of birds. Well, almost always. Once Joel turned his alarm on his cell phone to birdsong, that put me off birds for a while. But even if the weather was fine, there was plenty to keep the followers of Jesus seeking shelter or hiding during this time. Jesus had just been executed for treason. But the two disciples in this story, Cleopas, who may or may not have been Jesus's uncle on Joseph's side, and the unnamed disciple who may or may not have been Cleopas's spouse or partner, they decided, we're getting out of here. We're leaving Jerusalem. We're going to risk that 7-mile walk to Emmaus. And they did. They set out. And as they did, it says their faces were downcast. They'd been through a lot that weekend. And then, I mean, they had each other, which is something, as they walked together and talked. But then this stranger joins them and says, what are you talking about? A little nosy, but whatever. And then they find out that he really doesn't know anything. So rather than being able to put it all behind them, there they are, explaining it all again, reliving it again. And then when they finish, he starts calling them names, telling them they're foolish, dull-witted. But he starts talking then, and they continue their journey, and they continue talking, and something shifts, and something else falls into place. And after, as you heard, they were telling each other, hey, didn't our hearts burn? Weren't our hearts on fire when he talked to us like that? I definitely feel it in my heart when I hear something beautiful or something that rings true for me. Or I could feel sometimes it's tingling up my spine. You get that? In Matthew 18, verse 20, Jesus says, whenever two or three of you are gathered together in my name, I'm there with you. And they were. And he was. We find out that that stranger was, in fact, Jesus. And I also think it's true that whenever we as followers of Jesus reach out to each other with the intention of sharing from our hearts or just doing well by each other, I think we're inviting the presence of Jesus with us in some way. I also love that this takes place outside. A lot of Jesus' preaching and teaching happens outdoors. And I think when we leave our controlled habitats, our constructed realities, and step outside, we become a little more vulnerable, a little more aware that this world is a lot bigger than we are. And I think that makes us just a little more porous, more accessible to the voice of the Spirit of God in this world. Recently, I've started taking my dog down to Sunnyside Beach first thing in the morning as the sun's rising, and it's become my favorite part of the day. I really do feel God's presence down there. And as someone with anxiety and bipolar disorder, at different times in my life, I've experienced various forms of agoraphobia, or a fear of leaving my home and going outside, which is a real drag, because it really is a drag. Because it's also very therapeutic to be outside. And so before we had a dog of our own, I actually took a job walking other people's dogs just because it would get me outside. It really helps to have a reason. And so I think of these disciples and their compulsion, their need to just, like Doreen said, just drop everything and go all the way back to Jerusalem that night. How big that was for them, that they needed to share it with their friends. Now, I am someone who values shared practices versus shared beliefs approach to religious community. And it's really important to me that here at TUMSE, we are welcome to participate freely and actively, regardless of what we believe or don't believe. I think that just forms a really good foundation of mutual respect and trust from which we can share and grow together. And in that spirit, I'd like to say that for me personally, these stories of Easter, these resurrection stories, are like the taproot of my faith, and they're the source of my hope. I love when you hear the phrase resurrection of the body. There's something about that being embodied, how grounded that is, how real that is. I think that all miracles are miracles of nature. I think that our Creator has a lot of tricks still up their sleeve. They can surprise us with things we don't understand and maybe never will. And I also think that the resurrection offers us, unlike the crucifixion, which is characterized by not knowing, I think the resurrection offers us an opportunity to know, and through that knowing, be made whole. Prior to their journey to Emmaus, Cleopas and his companion had information, accounts, recounts that pointed to the resurrection, but they were sad and confused. And it was only over their journey together and with Jesus that they really came to know the resurrected Christ, to be able to answer for themselves the question, what does this mean? I just want to share a couple of little insights that I received on my walks recently. One of them was just a simple posture correction. I felt like in some way God was telling me to open my heart, pull back my shoulders, and just kind of lean back into their arms. Like, they gave me this skeleton, this structure, vertebrae, and that I can just trust them, rest in them. So now, every time I think about my posture, I have this sense of being held from behind by a loving God. And we were having supper one night and just going around the table naming one thing we were grateful for. And I said I was grateful for the sunrise. And Joel said, oh, was there a sunrise this morning? Me, sorry, Joel. meaning was it pink and pretty? And I just said, there's always a sunrise. Sometimes it's red and spectacular. Other times it's just slow and steady, blue or gray. But it always rises. Like Jesus. Praise be to God.